Just remember that scripture in your hearts today, that we don't worship God with our lips and our hearts are far from Him. We draw near to Him because He wants to draw near to us. And when we sing these songs, when we sing these words, we're singing something into the spiritual realm. It's we're speaking, you know, what we believe in our hearts. It's not just a pretty song. It's us coming at the end of the week, week in and week out, whether it's going bad, whether it's going good, whether you want to be here or not, and proclaiming God is glorious. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. Because that is what we're doing. We're doing doxology. We're glorifying Him. We're glory, glory, glory to Him. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that... yeah, just come and share with us, Father, what your heart is for worship, Lord. Even as we leave church this afternoon, this evening, Lord, even as we don't sing but sit and listen to the sermon, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you come and show in our hearts, Father God, what is it to be worshippers in spirit and in truth, Father God? Specifically this week, that spirit part, Father, what does it mean to live for you 100% during every day, Father God, where every act that we do is worshipping you? Every act that we do is bringing glory to God. Every act is saying, I'm a Christian and I believe in Him. He is my King, He is my Sovereign, and this is who I'm glorifying. Oh, Father, thank you so much.
You do not fade, you. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Which are going to be spoken, Lord, are not going to be my words. Those are going to be your words, Father. That the people are not going to look to me, Lord, but that they're going to listen to the words which are coming from you, Lord. And that those words are going to help them and help us, all of us, Lord, that we can glorify your name, your God, and no one else. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is there maybe anyone who got a picture as what we were worshiping, or maybe something which you would like to share with us, what happened this week, what the Lord has done in your life? None. You would like, come.
And during worship, I really felt very strongly that God was saying, I am your God, the Lord. I am your God, the Lord. I am the Lord your God. And that he was saying, I'm not letting go. I'm with you every step of the way. I'm not the type of person who just shows up at the finish line to celebrate you there. No, I'm with you every step of the way. I'm faithful.
Thank you, Colin. Anyone else who's got something to share? Thank you, worship team. That was really worship. I'm going to put a statement on the board. When we are not doing what we are told to do, then we are out. When you're not doing what we are told to do, then we are being excluded. We are being rejected. We are going to be sent out. And I want to give a few examples in our practical situation. The first one I would like to talk about is friends. If we are in friends and we are together, and if friends are asking certain things of us to do, but we're not doing it, then I don't think it's going to take such a long time. Then those people are not your friends anymore, because you are not accepted. You're not doing what they tell you to do. You are, yeah. You're out. You're otherwise. You're not there anymore. So that's really when group pressure is coming in, and when the people are saying then to you, well, you're not friends anymore because you're not doing what we're telling you to do. In our house, it's also exactly the same happening. There are some fathers and mothers over here, and there are some people who are staying maybe still with their fathers and mothers, and there are other people who've got their own houses. But there are rules. There are rules in a house. If our kids were not doing what we were supposed to do, then I won't say we were excluding them, but there would be a little bit of a punishment for them, that they could rectify themselves and that they could come in line and that they could act accordingly, that they also could be coming then in line what we expect them to do. Our youngest son, for instance, just to give you an example, we had an agreement with him. He should be at home at 1 o'clock. And I'm talking about not 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but 1 o'clock at night. And then it would be 1:10 and 1:05. And then we spoke to him and then we said, it seems to us that you're battling with it. What are we going to do? We've got a solution. We don't do 1 o'clock anymore. We do 12:00 now. And then we're going to see if you can manage that. And once you can manage 12:00, then we can go back again to 1:00. But it's rules what we've got at our house. And rules, they've got to be kept. And it's also rules what we've got at our own house, me and Renee then. We've got certain rules. And if you do not keep to the rules, it most probably is going to happen that we're not going to invite you again. Like, for instance, with eating with fork and knife. If you come over there with our house and you're going to start eating with your hands, I think Renee is going to give you one chance. And then, if you're not behave, then she's going to say, sorry, but it seems to me we've got a problem. You've got different type of standards as what we've got. So yeah, then you're also excluded. Coming back again, we are saying something, and then if they are not doing what they are, we're telling them to do, then they are going to be excluded. The same as school and university. We go to school, I've been to school, university I did my correspondence, but I knew I had to do what they told me to do, because otherwise I was not in line. When I went to school, the school started at 8:05. I had to be there at 8:05, because I can try to come a little bit late at 8:15, but it doesn't take that long, and then you get a warning, and it doesn't take too long, and then they say to you, well, you must maybe take another school because it doesn't work over here. And it's also that you've got to comply with certain requirements what symbols is concerned. If you want to have a degree, you must have a certain amount of credits. So it's coming back again to you've got to do what they tell you to do, and otherwise you're excluded. If you fail 3 times, they say no. They don't think that you will suit on that school or university or anything like that. Then we're coming to the last one, what I want to talk about, and that is a company, a boss. Fortunate or unfortunately, I'm a boss myself. Robert has been at a certain time also a boss. I don't know if he still has got something that he's still boss about, but anyway, then you give instructions to your people, and then you expect your people to do what you instruct them to do. Maybe in Robert's case, give certain chemicals, and if they're not doing it correctly, you can give them... I'm talking about your work, Robert, not at home. But if the people were not doing what they're supposed to do, Robert will most probably give them a warning and say, okay, I'll give you a chance to correct it, but otherwise I can't work with you because you're not listening, you're not doing what you're actually supposed to do. So those are all now different relationships what we've got. Like I said, you've got your friends, you've got your house, you've got your school or university, and then you've got work. And each and every time you had to do the will of somebody, because otherwise you are being excluded. And it was that their will, the will of your friends, the will of the people at the school and at the home and so on, is having a big influence in our lives. A huge influence of what are we doing, where are we going, and what is exactly and supposed and what is expected from us. And when we are not obeying what they are telling us to do, then we are going to be excluded. We're not going to be part of that, of those friends anymore. If we fail 3 times, they're out of the school. If we mess up at work, they say, please go and look for another job, those type of things. That principle of listening to what another person's will is, I would like to talk about the will of God this afternoon. What is God actually saying to us? How must we implement His will, and how does His will actually work on us? And there's a big difference. In the world, they are telling us to do. They're actually forcing it down on us. God is not doing that. God is inviting us to do His will. It's still our choice. We can choose if we want to do His will or not, or if we decide we do not want to obey. So there's a huge difference between the two, as what is in the world and what we can expect from God. And then sometimes, yeah, we get people who we speak to and we tell them that we're doing God's will, and then those people will give you a huge amount of reasons why they think you do not have to obey God, because they don't think that God exists, and they think about evolution, and they've got all those different reasons and so on and so on, and they say, no, I don't have to obey God's will, I can decide myself, God doesn't exist, and those type of things. But this afternoon I would like to invite you then to have a look at what is the Bible telling us about God's will. And if we take a look at God's will, then the one who actually put God's will in practice, that's Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example of a person who put the will of God into practice. The verse what I would like to have a look at is the Gospel of Mark. It's coming out of Mark. Mark is the first book in the Gospels which has been written, and out of Mark, the other books have been written. And it's also actually interesting that if we take a look at the 4 Gospels, if you want to know something about Jesus, then if you want to find out what Jesus did, then you must read Mark. And Mark is talking about what is more concerned about what Jesus did, and Jesus is the Son of Man. If you take a look at Matthew and Luke, they were more concerned about what Jesus said. So if you want to hear what Jesus said, what his words were, then you can look at Matthew and Luke. Both of them, Matthew and Luke, were written out of Mark, but they were longer. So there's more items which they could pick up. And then Matthew is also saying King of Jews, and Luke is saying then Savior of World. Matthew has been put in the first part of the New Testament because the most important thing, and it's actually also where Jesus came for, is for the Jewish people. So the first one, Matthew, is actually focused on the Jewish people. And then John is not concerned about what Jesus said or what Jesus did, but he's actually more concerned, who was Jesus? What was going on about Jesus? And John is talking about the Son of God. So if you want to read about what Jesus said or did or who Jesus is, then you've got a few different Gospels giving you a little bit of a guideline over there. The verse what I would like to have a look at is the one from Mark 3, 31 to 35. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, and they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brother are outside seeking you." But he answered them and saying, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him, and he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." So this is now where Jesus is talking about the will of God, the will of his Father. If you take a look at the first line where it says, "Then his brother and his mother came," it's actually, a little bit strange, we would say, because the family should have known. Maria should have been telling the other half-brothers and half-sisters, Jesus, how she got pregnant without having any intercourse with Joseph, and Jesus was born, and that Jesus' destiny is that he is going to save the world. So it must have been spoken about around the table, I nearly would say. But then his brothers and his mother came. It doesn't say if the sisters were coming, but at least the brothers plus his mother, they came. And they were coming, and they basically wanted to get Jesus away from what Jesus was doing over there. Because if we go a little bit back in Mark 3 verses 21, it says, "But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, 'He's out of his mind.'" So that's actually what this mother and his brothers were coming to do. They say, "Jesus is out of his mind. We better get him away over there." So there's a gathering. Let's say it's a gathering over here. And Jesus' mother with brothers is now standing outside. They don't come in themselves. They are sending in a messenger. Why are they sending a messenger? We don't know. Maybe they were afraid of the apostles because Peter was over there as well. And Peter has got a little bit of a bad reputation. So maybe they could have got a fight with him. We don't know, but they sent a messenger, and then the messenger came. And he said then, "Look, your mother and your brother, they're outside, they're seeking you." Why Mary actually agreed to go along, it's difficult to understand, because I think if we had that type of experience, what Mary had at the beginning, then you wouldn't have done this. You wouldn't have stopped it. But there's nothing in Scripture what we actually can find out. We can speculate about it. Difficult to say. But at least he was part of the people over there. So they sent in a messenger that Jesus should come out. And then Jesus, the answer what he's giving over there, "Who is my mother and who's my brothers?" Jesus had four brothers and at least two sisters. So, and also if we take a look at the age of Jesus, approximately 30. So he was already out of his house. And yes, they were there and they were saying, "But what are you doing now? You're creating quite a little bit difficult situation now. You're fighting with the Pharisees, you're fighting with the Sadducees over there. Come back and make some tables and some chairs and some cupboards and come back to the carpentry. And what are you doing now? You shouldn't be there. You're a little bit out of your mind." That's actually what they were saying over there. That's the reason they came. They wanted to get Jesus out of that. But then Jesus is giving that answer when he's looking around and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Whoever does the will of God, if we go and have a look at another translation, then you will see, whoever does the will of my Father. And if we take a look at, if we do a will of the Father, then if we're doing it, we're basically acknowledging that God is our Father. And then the will is actually a response. It's flowing out of that acknowledgement that God is our Father. We're not doing the things that God is going to become our Father, but it is, we're first acknowledging that he is our Father. The same with getting saved. We don't do works to get saved, but we are saved to do good works for other people. That's how the following, what the order should be. And I wrote down a few statements which I picked up on a few different places. Faith is the root, obedience is the flower and the fruit. So if you've got faith, if you've got God the Father as your Father, then obedience is the flower. Obedience is going to flow automatically out of it, and that's going to be the fruit as well. Obedience is the test of relationship to Jesus. If there's no relationship with Jesus, then there's no obedience. But obedience is going to be, as if you've got that relationship with Jesus, obedience is going to be flowing out automatically out of that. We must bend our wills to God's wills, and that is a process. And that's actually, I think, the most difficult one what we've got, because we've got to get less of our will and more of God's will. And we're battling with that. I'm battling with it, and I think most of you people over the year as well, we're all battling with that, because it's so easy that our own will is coming in. We think it has got to be done that and that way, but we're not listening to God's will first. What is God actually saying? What has got to be done? Another thing what is actually critical about here is what, if we take a look at, let me just get it part back again, where his brothers and sisters are coming and where they want to get Jesus out of that process, where he's busy with God's will. We get it in our own lives as well. We also get family, where we are at the moment busy with God's work, that we've got family who say to us, "You're nuts. What are you doing now? You're following Jesus. You can't see Jesus. You think God does exist, but he doesn't exist," and those type of things. They try to get you away from that way of living what you're doing. And I think if I'm going to ask by putting up hands, don't put up hands, most probably there are going to be a few saying, "Yes, I've got of those family members," maybe even close family members. They say, "But you're nuts what you're doing. Why are you not coming on a Sunday afternoon for watching a soccer game or for a barbecue or something like that? No, I'm going to church." "You're nuts. What are you doing at church? Doing nothing, listening to somebody telling a story, and then you have a cup of coffee and go home." It's not. We're having an encounter with God over here. And you must probably also experience it. Renee had a little bit of that situation as well, that her family members were also, what she was doing, they just didn't see it as important. They found that the relationship with her, Renee is my wife, that the relationship with her, with them, is more important as what it was following God, so that the priority order was different. The priority order can have only one order, God first. It's not negotiable. If you don't put God first and you put other things first, then we are on the wrong road. And God is giving us this actually that option that we can choose. Do we want to obey him? Or are we going to say, "No, we're not going to obey. I'm going to do my own will. Maybe Sundays I will do something. But the rest of the week, sorry, I switch off God and I switch on my own life. And then Sunday I switch the other way around again." There's got to be each and every day. Our switch has got to be off. Our will has got to be off. And God's will has got to be switched on. And if we are living to what other people are telling us, and if we are living according to what family is telling us, what friends are telling us, and we're living according to their will, then they are actually becoming our God. Then God is not our God. Then our God is just going to be second or third in a row over there. And we can have a lot of knowledge about God's will, and it's important to have knowledge about God's will. And we can have a lot of possession of faith, which is, of course, also the root of our faith, of our relationship with God. And we can have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, which is the basis of our salvation. But in a practical condition, the most important thing what we've got to do is we've got to do God's will. And when I was busy with the sermon as well, I actually was surprised of how many places, right through Scripture, it is written, the will of God, the will of God, the will of God. And what it actually says, Jesus is saying, doing the will of God is my food. If we take a look at our lives, we know, me at least, 3 times a day I must eat. There are some other people over here in the room who have got to eat at least 4 and sometimes 5 times a day. But that's my food, because otherwise I cannot live. And Jesus is saying that. Doing God's will, that's giving him food, that's keeping him alive. Now the question, what is God's will? I'm just going to ask quickly, Tutu, just one word, would you say what is God's will? And I'm not going to react it on it afterwards, but I just would like to basically just let you think of what you've got in mind, that as we go a little bit further, that you can bounce it off against. So Tutu, quickly, what do you think is God's will? Right. It seems to me we can write a whole new Bible just of those ideas what we're getting now. I'm going to put God's will in 2 different categories. The first will, because it's an English word, and in Dutch and in other languages, I think we will maybe use different words for it. But the first will is a decree. It's something which is spoken out by God, and we cannot change it. We all know that Jesus is going to come back at a certain time, and he's going to come back as a thief in the night. It's a will of God, it has been written down, and it's going to happen. It's not negotiable, and we can jump high and low, we can obey and disobey, it's not going to change. That is the one will. Then the other will, and that one will we can read also in Daniel. Let me quickly give you that scripture. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? We can't say to God, what have you done now? We can't say that. That's not us. We cannot decide. And we can pray and not pray, but it's not going to have an influence. It's a will of God, which is not negotiable. So that's the one will of God. A decree, which has been spoken out by him. A sovereign will from him. Then the other one is, and we also can, I can quickly quote 2 scriptures as well. That's the one in John, where Jesus is then talking, where he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And Jesus knew what God wanted to do. God wanted to save the world. That's what God wanted to do, and Jesus was sent over here to do that. He doesn't want to do his own will. He wanted to do the will of the Father. And then in John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him, to do the will of God who has sent me. And that's the will of God, which is not negotiable. We cannot change that. Then we come to the other will. And then the other will is a will of command. So it's actually, we can disobey and we can also fail. It can also that we try to do it, but that we're not succeeding. So you've got those 2 wills. And then the one where we're going to focus more this afternoon on before 7 or 8 o'clock is the one where we can choose if we're going to obey or if we're not going to obey. Are we going to do God's will or are we not going to do God's will? And that is one what I said before. God is inviting us. It's a request from him. It's an invitation from him. And we've got to react on it. We as human beings have got to react on it. God is a gentleman. He's not forcing himself down on us. He's inviting us and say, please come with me. I want to spend eternity with you. And we've got to decide what are we going to do about it. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus is talking over there and he says, No one who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So we've got to do the will of the Father. Otherwise, we're not going to go in heaven. But again, it's the will of the Father. If we're doing the will of the Father, we immediately acknowledge that He's our Father. And God can only be our Father if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So we've got to be saved. We've got to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then we must be looking for doing the will of God, the will of the Father. I'm going to quote a few scriptures from Paul. In first one is Thessalonians, what he's addressing a little bit of the will of God. And he's just covering one or two things which could be included in the will of God. And maybe as what you just now spoke to each other, that you say, okay, you can now see one or two which you've been talking about. The first one is in Thessalonians 4 verses 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You should abstain from sexual immorality. And that is quite, a difficult one. It's a problem. We can write through the whole Bible. We see it everywhere. We can go outside the door. We know it's a huge problem in the world. And this is where he says, do the will of God. So be pure, so that we should be sexual, pure, but a lot of people, including of our people, are battling to obey that one. The next one is Thessalonians 5, verses 18. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Again, it is God is asking that we should give thanks, that we should thank Him for what He is giving us. But are we doing it always? Are we getting so used to it? If we are having breakfast each and every morning and we know that it is coming from God and we thank Him for that, it could maybe be a week or 2 weeks later that we say, you know what, it doesn't really help, doesn't taste any different if I pray or don't pray. I just quickly eat my breakfast and I carry on. But it's just stopping with it. And what has been said the scripture, what Christoph was reading as well. What we've got, God has given it to us, but acknowledging it and say, thank you, Father. Thank you what I've got. And that's what I always try to do the first thing in the morning when I wake up, not to see how late it is, but to thank God and say, thank you, Father. Nowadays, I wake up when it's light and I hear the birds and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for those birds, what you've made. Because those birds are also saying thank you to the Father. Thank you for the earth, what they've got, where they can fly around in the creation and all that. Yeah, that we say thank you. But so many times it is that we just accept it, the sun is coming up and going down. But yeah, thank the Father for the sun, for the place where we can stay, for everything what He's giving to us. Another example is 1 John 2. And the world is passing by, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And abide basically means is that you've got that intimate relationship with God, that you're close to God, that you continuously want to be with God. And like it says, forever, it's not going to be only a chapter, but it's something which is in your life each and every day, continuously, like that blood which is flowing through your body, that the will of God is also flowing through your body continuously. Back again to the will. So on the one side, we've got a will of degree, which always comes to pass, whether we believe it or not. And the other one is the will of command, which we can be broken. And it's every day that we've got to make the decision. And it's our choice. What are we going to do with that will of God? And then I thought, okay, now I've been talking about the will of God, but what if we're going to put it in practice? And then I thought, okay, what am I going to do? I cannot actually write a whole list of things down and say, okay, this is what you've got to do and that's what you've got to do. Because coming back again is the will of God has been done perfectly by Jesus. And Jesus is perfect. So whatever He has been done is our example. So the situation where I'm over here, where I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and where I'm starting to do the will of God, where I'm going to is where Jesus is, the perfect example. And if we take a look at what happened with Jesus, He did exactly what the Father told Him. He was baptized. The Holy Spirit came on Him. He had passion with the people when He was looking around, when He was walking on the street. He saw the people. He had a passion for them. And then He saw the people as what God was seeing those people. And God loves His creation. God loves, wants to spend eternity with them. And then Jesus did miracles. He healed people. A lot of people have been healed, as we can read it in the scriptures. And then He sent demons out as well. So Jesus was doing what God was telling him to do, but all those type of things was included. And then we say, okay, now if we take a look at what Jesus has been doing, what we said, you must take a look at what Jesus did. Sorry, it was Mark. Then if we say that is what the will of God is and we've got to do all those things, what are they exactly? And then I write a few things down of what can we do if we are here and if we want to get to that perfect state. We're never going to be there. I will never come there. I can't tell you where I am exactly. I don't know. I'm far from being perfect, but it doesn't matter. There's a goal that I'm going to, and that is more important for me. First thing is, be thankful. Thank God for everything what we've got. Like I said, if you wake up in the morning, when you're having a meal, when something is happening which is making you glad, say thank you to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity, for this what's happening. The next one is purifying your life. We just now saw what Paul has been writing over there about the sexual immorality. But then there's more, just in our lives, but even in our house. And have a look and say, okay, but what is it? What do I have? If I've got a Buddha statue in my garden, it's not going along. Please get it out. Chuck it away. Don't give it to the neighbors. Crush it. Demolish it. Totally. Take a look at what pictures what you've got in your house. Take a look at the CDs what you're listening to. Take a look at the stuff where you're watching. What TV are you watching? So continuously start to purify not only what is your life, but also where are you exposed to, so that you continuously are busy with getting to the will of the Father, to what God is asking you to do. Abide in God, a daily personal relationship with God, continuously communicating. My wife is at the moment 3 weeks gone, and I've really tried each and every day to communicate with her by sending an app to her. And that's what life is. You communicate with each other. Because there's a relationship. And if we've got a relationship with God, and if we want to spend eternity with Him, then we've got to start talking to Him now. We've got to have that relationship. Because if we come to in heaven and we're going to meet God then for the first time over there, no. He doesn't know us. And we don't know Him. We already have got to start that relationship over here. Read the Bible in God. Rejoice. Be glad. 2 weeks ago, I've asked you people, are you happy? I'm happy because I know who I am. I'm happy because I know what I'm doing is what God is asking me to do. And if you are busy with that, you can ask those two people as well. And it gives you such a lot of, you're so content about knowing exactly what you're doing because God is telling you what to do. And then you're not questioning of, must I do this or must I do that? That gives you certainty. And that makes you glad and that lets you rejoice. Read the Bible. And like I said, the four Gospels, you can have a look at what Jesus did and what He said and who He actually is. Read those Gospels. Find out about Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example over there. Pray. Pray. Speak to God. What is on your heart, share it with Him. He's saying in James over there, whatever you're asking for, you're not getting because you're not asking. So if you've got something in your heart that you would like, really would like to get, share it with God. He already knows beforehand what you're going to pray, but it doesn't matter. Share it with Him. Tell Him what you're looking for. And then pray. Pray for the people around you. If you're in a work situation, I won't say that you make a certain person your project, but you start praying for them. You say, Lord, let this person also be drawn into your kingdom. I call him into your kingdom. Let things happening over there. If possible, anoint a chair. Not with a liter of oil, just touch it a little bit. And just bring God in there and pray and I should say get busy. It's all part of doing the will of God because we've got to spread the gospel. Jesus said it, go and tell, Matthew 28. Mix with other believers. This is what we're doing over here. Not only on a Sunday. And the rest of the week we're doing sightseeing now. Wednesday evening, there's small group. You come in a small group together, you pray together and you share what is in your lives. That's where it is about, because we're one family. And I'm coming out of a family of 9 kids, so around the table, at least 10. We were always talking to each other. It was always happening. And this has got to be with us as well. Over here on a Sunday, during the week on a Wednesday, if there's anything where you've got a problem, you must be able to send a message to somebody and say, please pray for me, or you get a message from somebody else and you can pray for that person, but that we communicate with each other. Mix with other believers, like I said. Attend courses. Learn more about God. There's such a lot of things what we can learn about God. We also have got courses, like it says over there, what we do, training as well. So whatever situation you're in, somewhere there will be a course to help you that you can just learn. We had it last week, what we had with Relationship Week, just to bring God into a relationship. If you're single, if you're dating, if you're married, or if you've got if your parents, if you've got kids, bring God into that relation that you can understand of what is God actually looking for. What is he asking you to do? And then the last one is, let the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through you. The Lord has given us that option that we can ask for the Holy Spirit, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit can also flow through us. So yes, then we can do what Jesus has been doing. He could do miracles. He could heal people. He could send demons out. Those type of things are also possible for us to do. Because Jesus said, you're even going to be doing more as what I've did. So that's all possible for us to do. So I made that list. It's not to say that's the list now. I got it out of the Bible. Those are the things which I felt on my heart, what the Lord put on my heart, what I wanted to write down. And some of them will maybe say, yes, that one is actually tickling me this afternoon. Now I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that. Because we are busy with traveling on a road. We are busy with getting spiritual mature, if I can put it that way. What the devil wants to do, he wants to get us off that road as soon as possible, or get us into a parking bay that we're standing still, that we're doing nothing. What we would like to do over here is to get you on the highway in the highest gear. I don't know if there's a Holy Spirit gear or not, but if there's such a gear, we would like to get you in that gear and go for it, because God wants to use you, but God wants to use us, but we've got to come to God. God is not going to force him down on us. And this is what we would like to do. So there's a change. And then the last verse, what I would like to have a look at, is Romans 12 verses 2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't do what the world is telling you to do. Don't listen to what the will is from the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. So continuously it's renewing. Continuously you are busy. It's not something which is just, okay, now I'm saved, now I don't have to do anything now. Continuously you're busy. I'm even learning each and every day as well. Renewing of your mind, that you may prove of what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, so that we can understand it. So we've got to be busy with it. It's not going to be once a year that we've got a few things that we say, okay, we're going to do this year what we normally do in January. No, it's something that we continuously are busy with. What we would like to renew our mind, that we're doing what the will of the Father is. Less of our will and more of God's will in my life. And it's a process. It's not something which is immediately happening. So don't feel bad if you're just over here, and if you're somewhere on the way to where Jesus is, where he's the perfect one. I'm also somewhere in the middle. The one is maybe a little bit further, the other one is a little bit behind you. I've seen people in short time moving tremendous. I've seen people in a parking bay for a long period and then suddenly got out of the parking bay and off they went. It doesn't matter. Do not compare with each other. Speak and ask God. What does God want you to do? Ask him, what is his will? And it differs. And maybe that thing of small thing, waking up in the morning, just say thanks to him. It's maybe very difficult for you. For one person, it's going to be a huge change. For another person, it's standard. They're already doing it. It's very easy to do. So it differs from all of us. I'm going to ask you to stand. Heavenly Father, we are here to do your will. And if we're doing your will, then Jesus is our brother. And then we can call you Father. And God, we want to call you Father. We want to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. and as all the eyes are closed at the moment, if there's anyone who says, but I've never taken that first step, you mentioned the one step and you mentioned the perfect Jesus, but I'm not even at that first one. I don't know God yet. I can't call him Father yet. I'm still not there, but I would like to. I would like to call God my Father. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you maybe, one of you this afternoon over here, and you say, that's what I would like to do this afternoon. I would like to change my life by accepting Jesus as my Christ as my Savior and start that relationship. And I want to call God my Father. Then if it's you this afternoon, then I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. And if you say, yes, I would like to make the decision this afternoon. And if it's going to be you, says, yes, I've actually been in a parking bay. I've never done his will. I just did what other people were telling me to do, and now and then I would read a little bit in the Bible, and yeah, there's a relationship. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I can call him my Father, and I know Jesus is my brother, and I know all those type of things, yeah, but I'm not really doing the will of God. I'm in that parking bay, but I want to get out of that parking bay, and I want to get onto that highway as well. I want to work. I want to do what God is asking me to do, and I want to have that relationship. And if it's you this afternoon that you say, yes, I would like to make that decision this afternoon, then I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to come forward and to come here to the front, and that you can say, yes, I want to do his will. I want to make that change in my life. And I want to start with something what has been mentioned. If it's going to be reading the Bible more or rejoice or purify your life or whatever it is, then I'm inviting you to come forward. And then I'm going to ask Christoph and Eunice as well to come also, that we can pray with you, but that we also can anoint you, because that you're moving into a new phase. You're moving into a new gear, into the Holy Spirit gear. And then the last one I want to ask, Lord, if those people who are here, if there's one who says, I'm hearing about the Holy Spirit, but I've never received the Holy Spirit. I've never asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I would like to do miracles, to heal people, to send out demons, to do the things what Jesus was doing, to do the things what a spiritual person can do, and to let off those spiritual gifts flow through me, and to be open of those gifts which you're going to give to me. And if there's one of you who says, yes, I really would like to receive the Holy Spirit this afternoon, then I'm inviting you to come forward, that we can also pray with you. We're going to have a worship song now, and if it's one of you who feels that you would like to come forward for any other type of prayer, please feel free to come forward, that we can pray along with you. And yes, be a blessing. Go out this week. Do the will of God, the will of your Father. Find out what he wants you to do for him. And it's different. That we're going to do the will of God. Thank you. Amen.
things that he has done. Forgiven sin, forgotten sickness, an orphan called instead of son, the gift of life born on Christ's shoulders, death's sting engulfed by victory. Bought with his blood, saved through his suffering. This is the song of the redeemed. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin. Fear is overcome as we fix our eyes on him. Our Savior, the perfect Lamb who had no sin. Embrace God's wrath so we have favor. Now boldly we can enter it. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away.
Fear is overcome as we fix our